with authenticity, we can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in beautiful Vancouver. And today we're joined by boyfriend slash stand-up comedian Chris Gaskin.
I'm glad that boyfriend was the higher of the two on the bill there.
Good, good. So he is going to be back on February 29th because it's going to be Fun Drive.
Yeah.
And some of the gifts, prizes for your donations, bribes, I like to call them bribes, yes, for donations, are going to be tickets to some comedy shows. We've got tickets to Yuck Yucks, and Chris is going to be headlining a very dark, dirty, offensive, very offensive show.
It'll be a fun show, though. I mean, it's, you know, it's all done in jest. It's not like it's hate speech, you know?
But it's for people who are not easily offended, who have dark senses of humor, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at the Rickshaw on March 26th. That's a Saturday night at the Rickshaw. And we have a pair of tickets to that, which is a $30 value. So we're going to be giving those away, and also a bunch of tickets to Yuck Yucks, which you can use, I think, pretty much any time you want, but when they're open, Tuesdays to Saturday nights.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. It's anywhere from like a $15 value to a $40. What's it cost to get in on a Saturday night? $20?
$20, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like $40. So it depends on the night. If you want to like get the most value, then you'd go on like a Saturday night, I guess.
I don't think they can be redeemed for like their concert series shows.
No, nothing special.
But like any other. The funny thing too is like I've been to some of those concert series shows, and I've been to like some regular weekends there. You get like regular weekend shows that are just as good as like the concert series shows. Concert series shows are just, you know, people who are a little bit famous in the U.S. doesn't necessarily make them a better comedian, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's just one of those things where they could sell more tickets because it's just someone who's more well-known.
Yeah, well, that's the same as with this show. I mean, I've had a lot of that's the frustration that I have with this show.
Hello,
especially because,
whoops,
speaking of, I was going to play a clip from one of the interviews that we done. So on my YouTube channel, I can check the stats of how many views, which is not the same with the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no idea if anyone is listening right now. I trust that there's at least one person listening to this show. Hi, our one listener.
Hello.
Hello. But on YouTube, I can track it. And someone like Joe Dispenza, his interviews had like 80,000 views or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's great. But Stan Tatkin is amazing and life-changing information. Mm-hmm. And nobody, because people aren't looking for that topic necessarily, or maybe I'm just using the wrong keywords or something, but it doesn't get as many views because they're not seeking out Dr. Stan Tatkin because he doesn't have a big name.
Yeah. And I mean, that happens in any, for lack of a better term, entertainment type. And not saying that what Stan Tatkin does is, you know, entertainment, you know what I mean? But when you're putting it in the show format, you kind of look at that entertainment value. And he's really good there too, but it's just, you know, he's not a very, very well-known name. So it's one of those things where it's like there's some of like the best comics I've seen. No one knows who they are. No one knows who they are. And I'm like, this guy's brilliant. And everyone goes, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, yeah, see, you just know like these big names that you see on TV.
But it's the same with music. Mm-hmm. If you're in a club and a DJ plays a song that's never had radio play, people will leave the dance floor.
Yeah.
If they haven't heard it before. But as soon as it's on the radio, they're all like, oh, the song, I love it. Let's dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure not everyone's like that, but like in a mainstream club where people are used to like top 40 type music, they won't dance to it if they haven't heard it before. It's crazy.
I thought you were going to mention like, yeah, when there's like a live band playing, and I was like, no, that's never how it is, because usually when there's a live band playing, you're like, this band, they're really a bummer.
It's been a bummer?
Yeah. There's like a lot of times where like you get cover bands usually when there's like you go to a club and then like a cover band comes out and you're like, this isn't like if you're going to promote live music, promote a band who's going to play their own stuff.
Yeah, but no one's going to dance to the stuff they haven't heard before. So you got to play covers. This is what people want to hear. They like to hear the same thing because change. We don't like change. Humans don't like change.
We've had a lot of change, and it's you got to welcome it.
But not when you're shaking your booty. I think you got to hear something. You got to get into the groove. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to know. So I can lip sync while I'm on the dance floor. Yeah.
See, I'd rather, I don't dance, which is part of it, but I'd rather just listen to the music and decide whether or not it's good music. And a lot of times...
But you'll listen to it, but you won't be dancing to it because you have to hear it first.
No, that has nothing to do...
No?
No.
Okay.
Are we playing a clip?
I'm going to play a clip. Yeah. Okay. So we recently, back in January, did an interview with Dr. Stan Takin, who has been a guest on the show a few times. And I don't think I played this interview because it went over an hour. But this is a mindfulness practice in dating. So Dr. Stan Takin came on the show to promote his book, Wired for Dating, and we did the interview on YouTube. What are you looking at?
I'm trying to read which shirt you're wearing in that clip.
Oh,
and
it says love.
Or not... Okay.
So this is from my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/spiritualshow, and this is Dr. Stan Takin talking about a mindfulness practice you can use in dating and relationships.
Long enough. I don't know. I would love to talk about the book because it's all about the dating process and what you were saying about Sherlocking and really paying attention to your partner. Not only does that help to see if they're, you know, having problems or getting upset, but it also helps you be more mindful instead of being self-conscious.
Yes. So in this case, your listenership might know something about insight meditation or mindfulness. This is mindfulness, except instead of insight meditation, this is outsight meditation. So I'm relaxing my body, even right now as I'm talking to you, relaxing my body and my muscles keeps my arousal in the pocket, so to speak, so I'm able to think. And I pour all my attention on you guys, every detail, the detail of Chris's hair, his eyebrows, the way his eyes are moving, the way your head just tilted, your right eyebrow just lifted. Okay, so my attention is so much on the two of you that I don't have time really to think about myself, but I continue to relax my muscles. And this keeps me from getting over aroused. When we're not aware, we're tensing. We continue to tense and blood pressure gets pumped and pumped and pumped. So with every thought, you're tensing. With every change in your gaze, you're tensing. When you talk, you tense. When you hear certain words, you tense. So in other words, you're tensing all the time. So the idea here is I'm constantly monitoring my body for muscle tension the best I can, let it go. If I do that too much, if I think too much about my own body, then my eyes go out and I'll look strange to you. So we don't want that. So I relax my body and I pour all my attention on every detail that I can see in your faces, since the face really counts. And by the way, this is how we fall in love. We fall in love by paying really close attention to detail, especially the eyes. So so it's good for lots of things, including learning to love people.
Well, that can be challenging sometimes.
What?
Loving people.
Yes, it can. It can be definitely challenging, especially when you're not face to face with them. It's a lot easier to not like people, be irritated with them. If you don't know them, you know, they run you off in a car or they're rude in an airport. That's hard. right? But with somebody that you're actually conversing with and you're getting to know, that's quite different, right? You're paying close attention. You guys do that, right? You guys pay close attention. I see you doing that here. Are you looking?
We try to. I mean, it depends on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, if you're driving, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, that'd be dangerous.
Or if we're working, if I'm working on my laptop and he's on his, and then he interrupts me to tell me something about sports or video games, and I'm like, what do you want?
And he's like, what do you want? I'm doing something. Why are you telling me this? I'm not interested.
Yeah. Well, then I have to ask him. I'm like, okay, do you want me to stop what I'm doing and pay attention, or are you just talking? Does it matter, like, if I listen or not? Because I can't be, if I'm working and he's talking, not paying attention.
It's very hard. My family, my daughter and my wife, we're all talkers. So it's very easy for us, each of us, to interrupt each other. Okay, get a room. interrupt each other while we're typing or writing. And so we have to remind each other all the time, you know, I can't do both at once.
So that was our interview with Dr. Santakian from January. Well, that's just a brief little clip, three and a half minutes. Look at us being all succinct. That never happens. So
that is not true. It's succinct. Sorry. I thought you meant synced.
Succinct. Yeah. Well,
I like when you mentioned like paying attention but not doing it like when you're driving. When I did that tour up north in December with my buddy Derek, like the way that he would drive it's like horrific when you're in the passenger seat, because he'd put left hand up on the steering wheel and then talk looking directly at you. So, you know, the thing is, and then he'd look at the road like every couple seconds, and you're like, dude, I can hear you if you're facing the road. Face the road, you psycho.
Oh, he wants to make eye contact.
He wants to connect that guy.
Well, that's very nice, but it's also very dangerous. Yes. Well, that's why Dr. Santakian recommends not making eye contact
while you're driving.
It is hard, though, sometimes to, like, if I'm having an important conversation while I'm driving, like, even just with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
She would tell me, like, this one friend that I have, it's like, and there's so many details. And I have to be like, if you actually want me to retain any of this, you got to wait until I'm done driving, because I can only hear so much.
Yeah.
But if you want to just talk, that's great. But
that's just what it's like being a guy. I can only hear so much. All right. You go. I'll pick what I want. And then we'll come back later when you finally go, you didn't hear me say this part. And it's like, yeah, I didn't hear you say that part. And then it happened.
That's everything that if I want you to agree to something, you just
throw it in subliminally.
I'll be like, but you agreed to it. Yeah. And you'll be like, oh, I guess I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to start saying that. I don't even have to say it. And you'll be like, I don't remember that. And I'll be like, oh, but I definitely said it. And you'll just take my word for it. Yeah. But now I've given it away, and maybe you'll question.
Yeah, well,
I shouldn't give up my secrets.
No, you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. As of yesterday, we've been together for a year.
Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary.
Yes, happy anniversary.
And happy day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
The day before Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. February 13th, is supposed to be Self-Love Day. Then there's Valentine's Day. So what's the day after Valentine's?
Probably self-love. If you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been one of the best years of my life.
Aww.
Yes,
I'm one of the best things that's happened to you.
Hey, I've had two open heart surgeries, all right? Without that, we might not even know each other, so... That's supposed to be a very high compliment, all right?
Thank you.
You just like not to overgeneralize.
You know that I want to be more... No, this is really conceited.
Not to overgeneralize, not to sound... And here's the thing, is no matter if I say this, someone's going to go, that's misogynistic. Yeah, listen, everyone, but it's like, you know, women want that top spot.
Yeah.
In a way,
that, I want to be more important than your life-saving operations.
Exactly.
Of course.
And again, I'm not trying to insult anyone here. I know I'm running that risk, but it's like, grow up, all right? Because why do you do that to me? Okay, for the record, she just flipped me the bird. And it's like, I'm not even insulting you. I'm just saying, like if you're a woman out there and your boyfriend says you're one of the best things that happened to me, you're immediately going to go, one of the, and not just take the compliment as it is. That is very high praise.
Thank you.
Very high praise. And I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love you too. Okay, we are going to play. Are you ready to play another clip?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we're going to play another StanTech. And so this is how to boost passion and romantic feelings.
And this is from that same interview, correct?
Yes, from the Wired for Dating interview. So he has Wired for Dating, which is the latest book, which is good, especially if you're dating.
Yes.
Keep yawning.
Yeah, me too, because you
keep yawning. Because I'm giving it the catchy. Yeah. Yeah. So now if you're listening, I wonder if it's contagious by the radio. We'll find out, I guess.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure.
Well, if you're driving, just keep your eyes open while you're yawning. Can you do that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you can keep your eyes open when you sneeze, though.
Mm.
I think that's the one where you can't keep it. Because like sometimes I'll yawn, but I'll have my mouth shut and my eyes open. And I try to make it look like I'm not yawning, and then you yawn, and I'm like, ah, she picked up on it. Yep. So
it's funny. Okay, so he has Wired for Dating, which is the latest book, and it's good for dating especially, but also anyone in a relationship can benefit from it.
Yeah.
Or anyone who might want a relationship one day. And then there's Wired for Love.
And is that a book or is that the audio program?
That's the book.
Okay.
Your Brain on Love is the six CD Dr. Snoozy Time. He has such a, Chris calls him Dr. Snoozy Time because he has such a soothing voice. And it's six CDs of talking like this. It's not boring. It's very soothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we listened on a long road trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, anyway, get to the point.
One of our many growing experiences together.
Yeah, that was in May, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's time to play an ad. Let's do that, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity and then a clip from Wired for Dating interview in a moment. This is Synchronicity, and you're listening to CITR. And I'm Marie Bernard, and that's...
on unceded...
Musqueam territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're Chris Gaskin?
Yes.
Okay.
We're counting down the days till Fun Drive 2016. This year, our theme is growing our cultures, and it all starts on February 25th with a rad kickoff party in the Pit Pub and a week-long on-air telethon. Support your community station by donating to help us support training for volunteers and promote the multitude of cultures on our airwaves. The online donation page goes live on February 15th, so keep an eye out for your chance to donate and get cool CITR swag.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity. I need an echo. Talk radio for your mind, body. It's not that really that kind of show, though.
Synchronicity. Oh, okay, like that.
Right. Like, let's get ready to synchronicity.
All right, you got to be careful, or you know, Michael Buffer is going to come after you for that.
I said synchronicity.
No, though. I know. Hey, you got parody rights on it, so you're fine. You're just parodying it.
That's so crazy that you can, like, trademark, or what did he Did he trademark it?
Yeah, he trademarked Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
And then dude was charging like almost $1 million per appearance.
What?
Which is crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, he'd just show up on like HBO boxing or like any pay-per-view boxing event. He'd come out, be like, now it's time for your main event. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, let's not say it. I don't want to pay $1 million.
Well,
to say it.
No, because I'm explaining what he did. All right. I'm not doing it myself. But, you know, and then he'd like yell out, Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And it was very iconic. And then he'd introduce the two guys. And then they'd have a boxing match. And then he was also like, they were, and here's a, like, I'm a huge wrestling fan or nerd, whichever way you look at it. I prefer fan, but
I prefer nerd,
of course. But like when WCW was a big thing in like the late 90s, they were spending $1 million each pay-per-view to have Michael Buffer there and introduce the main event. Like it's crazy.
That's awesome though. I mean, to be able to command that much money for like a 5-minute, not even appearance.
Yes, it's insane.
You got to give him credit. Like,
yeah, I mean, as an entertainer, my like per hour rate, people would look at and go like, "That's crazy." I'm like, "Yeah, but you know, I'm not making money all the rest."
We should
of the
just
time.
Start charging $1 million in appearance
for five
people. You know what though? People. The way that you put value on something is totally subjective. And if you upped your, I mean, $1 million is a little much. No one would be able to hire you. But there are people out there who, like, whether it's coaching or counseling or music or anything that's kind of subjective, there are people who are highly skilled and great at what they do that charge close to the minimum and don't even get booked all the time. And then there are people who are a complete joke that are charging, you know, $1,000+ an hour and getting it. And people are happy to pay it.
Well, that's the whole like Walmart versus
Nordstrom's.
Yeah, Nordstrom's argument. Whereas like people are going to want either low end or high end. Like the market value for like mid range isn't really there a lot. If that is it like coming through when I, okay.
I'm
not
doing
trying
it
to bang
too.
The table.
We're banging on the table and it's probably coming through. Okay.
But it's like, you know, you've got high end market and low end market and people will flock to those before they'll flock to the middle. It's just, it is what it is. So it's like I've had people like come up to me and be like, "Oh, my friend's doing like a fundraiser thing and we're looking for entertainment," and then like I give my rates and my rates are quite reasonable too, especially as an entertainer. And they're like, "Oh, we were thinking like exposure." And I'm like, "Yeah, exposure is just another statement or just another like way to phrase that you're just going to like I'm just getting used. Like that's not gonna happen." It's like they either want it for free or they're willing to pay like $1,000 or $2,000 or more than that.
Well, I think the standard like when a big speaker comes that's a fundraiser, and you're paying, you know, $80 to $250 for a ticket, I think people assume that the entertainer, that the head speaker does it for free, but they don't. They're paid like $20,000.
Yeah.
So what actually goes to the charity after everybody gets paid is often nothing.
There's still a fair amount, but it's like...
If they're not a sold out show.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, I know one of my buddies just recently opened for Seinfeld on a charity event show. And he got paid.
Is he going to want you telling everyone what he got paid for a charity show?
That's, as far as I know, though, like, he just got paid, like, a very large amount of, that's all I was going to say, was okay. He got paid a very large amount of money for a charity show. But it was also, like, each ticket to the show was, like, $300-$400 or, mm-hmm. or plus, you know? So, I mean, from what I heard, they raised, like, a very good amount for charity, but it's like they also have a large budget yeah. to bring in these bigger acts.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're going to play that clip that we've been promising. So this is Dr. Stan Tatkin, author of Wired for Dating, his latest book, talking about some tricks on how to keep the passion alive in your love life.
Relax my body, and I pour all my attention on every detail that I can see in your faces, since the face really counts. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is how we fall in love. We fall in love by paying really close attention to detail, especially the eyes. So it's good for lots of things, including learning to love people.
Well, that can be challenging sometimes.
What?
Loving people.
Yes, it can. It can be definitely challenging, especially when you're not face to face with them. It's a lot easier to not like people, be irritated with them. If you don't know them, they run you off in a car, or they're rude in an airport. That's hard, right? But with somebody that you're actually conversing with and you're getting to know, that's quite different, right? You're paying close attention. You guys do that, right? You guys pay close attention. I see you doing that here, looking.
We try to. I mean, it depends on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, if you're driving, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, that'd be dangerous.
Or if we're working, if I'm working on my laptop and he's on his, and then he interrupts me to tell me something about sports or video games, and I'm like, what do you want?
And he was like, what do you want? I'm doing something. Why are you telling me this? I'm not interested.
Yeah. Well, then I have to ask him. I'm like, okay, do you want me to stop what I'm doing and pay attention? Or are you just talking? Does it matter, like, if I listen or not? Because I can't be, if I'm working and he's talking, not paying attention.
It's very hard. My family, my daughter and my wife, we're all talkers. So it's very easy for us, each of us, to interrupt each other. Okay, get a room. Interrupt each other while we're typing or writing. And so we have to remind each other all the time, I can't do both at once.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I want to listen to what you have to say, but then I feel irritated that I'm interrupted. So I have to close my computer and then look you in the eye pay attention.
And then you can say, what do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the computer's closed.
Followed up by, that's what you made me close my computer for.
Right, exactly.
No, you can just see that in my eyes. Yeah. I don't say
it. You don't have to say it.
You know, one thing, I bring something up that a lot of people don't know, that there's lots of ways to revitalize feelings of exciting love. And one of those is joint attention, like, come here, take a look at what I'm looking at, right? Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is you're trying to get the other person to appreciate the thing you're appreciating. The problem with that is that if it's done too much, it's irritating, because you're the person's requiring you to stop and then focus on what they're focusing on. Joint attention is best when you're like on a vacation and you're both looking at the beautiful scenery, and you're both looking at it, and you turn to each other and you say, oh God, I love you so much. I'm so happy I'm here, right? That's proper joint attention. But there's another way to do it. Let's say you're on your computers. Let's say you're doing separate things. You're doing separate work. And suddenly, Chris, you come across something, I don't know, exciting. Could be anything. It could be relieving. But suddenly you're filled with a moment of goodness and brightness. And you could say to her, oh, come over and take a look at this.
Sounds like a kitty.
Or you could say, simply use that feeling and transfer it over to her and say, look over to her and say, God, I love you. She doesn't have to know what excited you, just that you use your excitement and then you port it over to her so you both can share in it. And that's called a dopaminergic surge. You both get a hit off of that dopamine by sharing it rather than saying, come over here, look at this. You know what I'm saying? It's a tip. A lot of people don't know how to do this, to use their personal excitement as a way the other person can use it as well, right?
Well, what he does is he forwards me the kitten video
on
Facebook, and then we both appreciate it.
There you go. Okay. If not at different times. Now, do you forward it to her while you're like lying next to each other?
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh God, our society is really going to hell.
I know, right?
That's funny. No,
I don't agree. But
then last night, after we turned off our computers
and
we went to bed, we were looking in each other's eyes and talking for like at least an hour, yeah. I think, and having a great time. But while the computer was on, there's no way we could have enjoyed that. It would have just been an interruption.
Yeah,
because you're doing what's called parallel play. Parallel play is you could be both doing the same thing, but you're in parallel motion. And that's fine. One thing, just for not for you, but for everybody else, you never want to do too much parallel play over the course of months, right? You don't want to keep doing too much of that without the other, because people end up feeling really lonely. But for some reason, if we're in the same room together and we're always doing parallel play, we begin to experience what kids feel, and that is, there are people in the house, but no one's really with me. So I feel more lonely and alone because there are people here, but I'm not interacting. Nobody is making a bid for attention. So too much parallel play leads to loneliness, but everyone does it, and it's fine to do as long as you guys connect at times, right? Connect at times.
We do actually. Multiple times throughout the night, because I was working. I was the one who didn't want to be overly interrupted, so Chris was just playing video games and whatnot. Finding cute puppy videos and things, and so I kept checking in, like, are you okay? Are you feeling ignored? He's an island, so he likes the parallel play. That's his preference.
First of all, is she right? She's calling you an island. That's something for you to admit. Is she actually right that you're an island?
No, she's what? Yeah, she's
okay.
Islandish.
Islandish.
Welcome back. We realized that. Okay, so the first clip that I had played was
actually
taken from that.
Funnily enough, when you mentioned, like, you don't want to look at someone when you're driving, I was on tour with my buddy, and like the way that he would drive.
He's turning into a whole Groundhog Day thing, because
he put his hand on the wheel.
Stop it.
And then look
at
you.
It was only the first 2 minutes of that video that we'd already heard. The rest was golden information, brand new, cutting edge of technology.
You'd be like, dude, if you were facing the road, then...
Stop it. Okay.
Did you know Michael Buffer got paid $1 million?
You're killing me. You're killing me. Okay, so we were going to talk.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to talk about it anymore.
What, really? Just having a little fun? No, we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I've decided we're
going to talk about it.
Okay, you can talk about it then. We've decided, as Dr. Tat King was mentioning, parallel play, that, you know, you're both kind of just doing your own things and you aren't really being together. So we decided for the next couple of days, we're going to take our technology down to, like, use, down to an absolute minimum. So that way we get to spend a lot of quality time together, which is really nice.
Which we've already had a fight about this morning.
Did we?
Because you wanted to go to a movie, which is more freaking parallel play. That's exactly what a movie is, parallel play.
Okay.
But I know you love movies. And you like to go out to a movie.
Yeah.
But I have such a short attention span. I like being able to pause a movie and get out. Like, I have to actually focus movie and not use the washroom 3 or 4 times, because then I have to hold it or I'll miss everything. Yeah.
You won't miss everything. And then you can go and come back and be like, what did I miss? And then 5 people go, shh.
Yeah. So see, this is why I don't enjoy movies out that much. Not with, I mean, back in the day when, like, you know, you had to go to the video store and rent the VHS or Betamax. This was probably before you were born.
I've rented VHSs.
No, I'm not talking the VHS tape. I'm talking the machine.
Oh.
Back before it was not, like, back before it was normal and everyone had a VHS player, you could go to the video store and rent the machine.
Yeah, I did that with, like, gaming consoles as a kid, though.
Yeah.
Like, we never had a Nintendo 64. We'd rent that every once in a while. And then I look back and I'm like, man, I'm kind of glad that we ended up getting a PlayStation, because at the time, like, just the game choices. Anyways, I'm getting a little off topic here, but
But this, but movies are parallel play. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the whole point of these 2 days was supposed to be for us to connect and interact directly with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're just doing more parallel play, which is why I'm kind of like, well, then why am I not just working and getting stuff done?
Okay. That's, I was just trying to think of something fun that we could do together. That's all.
Yeah. So, Valentine's Day. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just not a lot of fun today. Let's go to a break.
No comment. You're still prepping up. What's going on over
here? I'm trying to find Sam here.
No, you're fine.
Here in Vancouver, we celebrate our diversity and culture. NCITR is making Fun Drive all about it. Our goal this year is to raise funds to help grow more writers, broadcasters, and media producers, increasing the unique voices that grace our airwaves. Whether it's about specific cultural communities, musical genres, or alternative news, we want to hear it. Be a part of CITR's community. Donate, get cool swag, and party with us. The online donation page launches on February 15th, and the telethon goes live on February 25th.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
My name's Chris Horrific.
He always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Hey there, Charles. I'm looking for something fun to do on campus.
By George! You haven't heard about the UBC Hornstroke Foundation?
Not exactly.
Well, we raise awareness for Hornstroke initiatives, cardiovascular research, and we like to promote health and wellness within our community.
Health and wellness, you say? Do you have anything big planned soon?
By golly, we do! We've got a gala coming up soon. It's called Heart to Heart, and it's our biggest event of the year.
That sounds pretty cool. Tell me more about it.
Well, Chris, Heart to Heart is an amazing formal networking event where you'll be able to meet great people who are passionate towards heart and stroke initiatives. It will take place on the 28th of February from 5 to 10 p.m. Check out our website at ubchsf.com for more details.
Great. I'll definitely be there.
Ocean, border, sub, urban, dispersal, determinacy, mulatto, mestizo, Métis, Cabra, Eurasian, Creole, colored, colored, split. Those who have no history are doomed.
An excerpt from The Reinventing Wheel, spoken by author, Vancouver poet, Wade Compton. Celebrate Black History Month with CITR 101.9 FM as we host content exploring Black history in Vancouver and beyond. Tune in this February and check out CITR.ca for regular updates on the scheduling of our Black History Month programming.
So, okay, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, joined by Chris Gaskin.
That's me.
And we're going to play a clip with Tobin Blake. He's the author of The Healing of Jordan Young. And I did this interview in January as well. And this is just a 7-minute interview clip. It's a clip from the whole interview. And again, you can find that at youtube.com/spiritualshow. And next week we're going to be talking with, I believe her name is Julia Aziz, and she is the author of Lessons of Labor. And she's talking all about what she's learned from motherhood and the labor of her three children. And we also talked about she works in hospice. She is a chaplain in a hospice facility. And so it's a really interesting dialogue that we had, and that'll be up next week, February 22nd. And then after that, it's fun drive. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Here is a clip from the interview with Tobin Blake.
So one of the things that I've been working towards through this show is just slowing things down, because in radio there's not supposed to be any silence.
Yeah.
But without taking that moment, I'm constantly having to think of what I'm going to ask you next.
Right.
As you're speaking. So it's finding that balance between really being present. And I think it's okay to take a moment, even if that means a bit of silence. What do you think?
Absolutely. I say this sometimes in my talks. I let people know it's kind of sounds like a contradiction. Okay. I've worked with words for many, many years. I started writing right around the year 1998 or so. And I've done a lot of little magazine articles and short stories. So I write fiction and poetry and three nonfiction books now. And one unpublished novel. It won't stay unpublished forever, though. So look out, world. I'm a writer, besides being a meditation teacher and a spiritual teacher. So, and I also do talks and I do shows like this. So I use words a lot. But recently I've started telling people, my audiences, it's not the words that matter. I used to be really caught up in words and wanting to get my words just right and how to say things just right and explain this and that just right. And then at some point I realized that words are just symbols. In fact, if you believe teachings such as A Course in Miracles, they are symbols of symbols, meaning the world itself is a symbol. Everything in the world is a symbol. And our words then symbolize those symbols. So they are thus, as the Course says, twice removed from reality. So they are not the truth. So everything I'm saying here is not true. that's the cold, hard truth of it. It's not true. But, all I can do is point to truths and reflect the truth in a way that helps to redirect people to that which is true. Their presence, their self, their experience of life, even in the illusion of the world, we have that with us and we can experience that directly. So what I say now to a lot of my audiences is if I appear to stop and if I appear to be just standing here looking foolish, listen to the silence between the words that I am speaking. That is what all of my words are designed to direct you towards. So get comfortable with those spaces. Take them in. Breathe. That is where self-realization is discovered.
Oh, that's so good. Why do you think it is that people are so uncomfortable with just like a 2-second pause?
Because the ego dissolves in those moments. It happens rapidly. It happens instantaneously. And while it feels so good, if you aren't comfortable with allowing your ego to dissolve, and if you still feel guilty and afraid of what you are, you will resist those moments. And so you'll feel the need to talk as fast as you can and get everything right and fill every space up. And you'll have no moments to appreciate that. So we need to begin doing the opposite. And that's really what why I teach meditation. That's the intentional approach of creating those spaces. But we can create them at any time. And you certainly can do so in your shows. But I admit, it is a little bit more challenging because, as you said, on radio, silence is dead air. And it's a quote unquote no-no. And, you know, people will tune in and they'll say, what's all this silence? This radio station's broken. Yeah. And then they'll move on. So it's a conundrum, but you can just do your best with it.
Well, I find... yesterday I had an interview, my boyfriend and I did an interview just like this one on Google Hangouts on air with a psychologist who we just adore and has been on many times. And I was so focused on bringing it back to the book and reeling them in from talking about comedy and board games and stuff that I missed opportunities for what would have been such a deep and profound and helpful conversation for listeners and viewers. And so as I was looking back, I was judging myself because I missed these opportunities. I wasn't really listening to what he had to say. I was just worried about keeping the time and all of that. And
you're juggling, and you know it's a challenge, and you have to pay attention to time on your side of things, and you have to provide some structure to your interviews, certainly. But the most important thing you certainly can do is just to be present yourself regardless of what's going on, and just let it go, you know, let it go. I know Oprah Winfrey said something that was interesting, and I forget where I heard this, but it was fascinating. Oh, I think it was in a interview she did with Eckhart Tolle. But she had said that for most of her early career, and she was in news, like a local news, I believe it was at first, she was trying so hard just to fit into that newscaster role. And it wasn't until she made a mistake, and I don't remember what the mistake was, but she made some mistake. And then she laughed at herself on air. And she said that that was the moment for her that changed everything, because that was the first moment on air where she was really herself. And that is, I think, that the highest thing we can aspire to do, regardless of what we're doing, is just to be ourselves, just to be relaxed and be who we are and be okay with making mistakes and be okay with things not being perfect. And once we relax and find that groove, everything flows naturally for us.
Wow, that was a fast 7.5 minutes. It goes by quickly. So, we have just a few minutes left here on Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Yeah. Up in about 10 minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific.
Yeah.
Who's a fun guy. Yeah. Chris and Chris Arific. They're kind of buddies. Buddies in passing.
Sure, yeah.
Well, were talking about how his promo...
Yeah, his promos all like wrestling stuff. It's great.
It's great.
Even like Parts Unknown. That's like a total wrestling reference.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that was where they introduced the Ultimate Warrior from Parts Unknown. And he'd come out and shake the ropes. He'd be wearing armbands with like streamers on them, face paint, and then he was just like terrible in the ring.
So I relaxed my body.
Sorry.
He just like. Pick up a guy over his head, drop him, hit the ropes, come back, do like a splash on him, and then get the pin. And then fans like really got behind the guy, but he was real weird. And like, wasn't that great in the ring? It's weird because it's like I like the art behind it.
The art?
Yeah.
The showmanship? The sparkly costumes?
No. the art. Like the actual in-ring, make everything look good, tell a story.
Choreography.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. The soap opera aspect.
No. No, I like guys who do cool moves. That's. And I showed you the Steiner screwdriver. How cool is that move? Picks a guy up like a suplex and then drops him into a pile driver. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You don't sound impressed. All right.
Well, I mean, it's very athletically impressive.
Yes.
Yes. The stuff that they do, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
And even though it is all choreographed and not really, they're not really fighting.
No.
I mean, it's still very dangerous and people
yes.
get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though they try to minimize that as much as possible because it's not a real fight. It's basically dance wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much. That would be a fairly apt description. Yeah.
And now I'm just picturing them all in leg warmers, like the flash dance girl. Yeah.
There's a few of them that wear leg warmers.
I know. Some of them are like pink.
Yeah.
Pink, fluffy, furry. Yeah.
I watched an episode of Lucha Underground.
Uh-huh.
That was that one that I was telling you about where it's basically they've built it like an actual television show. Like it's produced by Mark Burnett of like Survivor and Robert Rodriguez. And they film it like it's a TV show. So not only is it, you know, these wrestlers, like you get them in the ring and like cutting promos and you're like, man, these guys like really can't act. But then you get them like also acting in this thing. So it's like, it's extra silly. It's so weird.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show before Parts Unknown. Do you want to play one more clip with Dr. Stan Tacken?
Do you want to?
Sure. What do you want?
Sure.
Are we both on board for the more Dr. Stan Tacken? So this is, again, from that interview that we did in January, and it's about manipulation.
Ah.
So what do you think about manipulation? I'm not asking you. I'm asking the listener.
Oh.
I just turned off your mic because I have the power. Do you want to say something?
No.
So this is about manipulation. So think about your opinion about manipulation. What do you feel? What do you think about manipulating other people, whether it's your partner or your boss or your kids? And now listen to what Dr. Stan Tacken has to say about manipulation.
Today we're talking about Wired for Dating and why everybody who's dating or thinking about dating needs to get this book. Why did you write this book? You've got Wired for Love and Your Brain on Love. Were people asking for more?
People were asking for more. And I'm all about prevention. I mean, if you've read my other material, I'm trying to start as early as I can to get people into a good relationship, one that we know is not going to fail, is certainly not going to cause misery over 20 years. So I'm trying to prevent bad relationships. If I can start with dating, that'd be great. If I can start with adolescence, that'd be even better. That may be another book.
Awesome.
Wired for Adolescence.
Wired
I see.
For teens. Wired for teen dating.
Yeah.
That would be good. So one of the things I like about Wired for Dating is that it covers the basic material of the island, the wave, and the anchor. Mm-hmm. And you also have stories, so people have examples of how this stuff works and what it looks like in real life. And then you also give tips.
Yes. And I'm also talking, I think, trying to dispel some myths out there, which are still circulating. About dating, about pair bonding. And so I started that with Wired for Love and continuing that with Wired for Dating.
So one of the most important aspects of the book is being mindful and authentic in your communication. So you have to be mindful to know what's going on with you instead of like doing something manipulative or snarky.
Well, yeah, manipulative or snarky. Although I must say manipulation has gotten a bad rap because everybody manipulates. What we don't like is being manipulated at our cost, right? We just don't like it if we're being used or being tricked. But we're all manipulating each other. You just want to do it in a good way, in a way that makes the other person feel okay, and while also getting what you want, right? You get what you want by knowing what your partner wants. You try to create or broker win-win situations with each other. So manipulate away.
Okay. Ooh, sounds good. Well, maybe we need to come up with a new word, because manipulation does have a negative connotation. And I think there's a difference between malicious manipulation and positive manipulation.
Persuasion, you know, being seduced, encouraged, bargaining, all these things. I don't like the word compromise so much, because it implies that somebody is losing something. So I like that people are able to broker win-win situations good enough, at least, to not remember anything, not remember having been manipulated or been having to give up something against, you know, against your own wishes, right? So we're looking at it in terms of being able to handle each other. You were mentioning about paying attention, or what we're calling Sherlocking, in the beginning and throughout a relationship, is paying really close attention to your partner's face, to their eyes, to their voice, changes in their skin color, changes in their posture. Not in a way that reminds you of something terrible, but in a way that allows you to study them like you were Sherlock, in a dispassionate, objective way. So you're not looking at them for personal matters. You're looking at them as if you were observing them, studying them as if they were the most important thing to study in the present moment.
Okay, so that's been synchronicity. Now Chris and Chris are talking wrestling.
Yeah, we totally are.
When I get you the squirt circle.
Squirt circle? Oh, I know, squared circle.
Squared circle. Squared circle.
I'll break you in half.
Oh, that's pretty good. You know what? I think during Fun Drive, you and I are going to have a promo off at the end of synchronicity.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yes, you can. That'll be great.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. If you want to hear more actually about Chris and his many opinions about wrestling, you have a wrestling podcast, right?
We talk wrestling, video game. We talk whatever we're Guy interested
stuff
in. Yeah.
With his 19-year-old cousin who says...
Oh, he says ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so great. It's called Chris versus Brandon. It's on iTunes and at chrisgaskin.net.
Cool. Yeah. And so you can check that out if you want to hear more from Chris. And coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris-erific. So, yeah, we'll be back with, I won't be here, but that interview with Lessons of Labor. It's going to be really, it was a really peaceful feeling talking with her. Birth, the beginning of one's life, the end of one's life. She has a lot of insights, so I hope that you enjoy that. And then we'll be back for Fun Drive, Fun Drive, Fun Drive on...
Chris versus Chris-erific.
And Marie.
Yeah.
I'll be the ring leader.
Oh, okay.
The ref. Okay, so have a great week. Be well. I love you so much.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and